I have the basic. I have the public hearing script. I don't know that I still have the other script you guys want me to use.
Quasi judicial.
I put a different one up there.
Oh, okay. So that isn't okay. Well, that's for the hearing.
Oh. Well, do you want this?
Well, I'll call the meeting to order. I'll call the June 18th, 2019 Historic Review Board meeting to order. And so, what do you have, Tom?
Is that what you're looking for? This is what I have. That's for a hearing.
No, I have this for hearings. Excuse me. Okay. Well, before we get to the public hearing that's scheduled for tonight, we're going to start with public comments. And so, just like to, do we have anybody that has requested to make comments tonight, Jennifer?
I don't have anything yet. I think everybody's here for the hearing.
Okay. Then our next order of business is the business meeting. First item is approval of meeting notes for the March 19th, 2019 Historic Review Board meeting. And have we seen those?
I have nothing.
Jennifer, do we have those?
Oh, they were in your packet that was mailed to you, and then I have my copy up here if you like them. Mm. They're on the website, they were emailed, they were mailed. Here's my copy.
That's the email, and just looked at the attachment for the hearing. I did not see any other attachments. And I did not receive a mailed packet.
I didn't either.
Everyone should have received a mailed packet for the very first.
Or the last meeting?
Yeah.
Okay. That explains it. So we did not.
We just didn't put it on the agenda, but I said.
We did not deal with this at the last meeting?
Yeah.
Okay. I may or may not have that because I did sort through to get rid of stuff out of my file. So, you have them. I have it now, so I'll just take a quick look at it. So I do not have the March 19th. HRB meeting minutes, just the 21st. Okay, that's what we have. Here, you read that one. I'll
okay,
read this one.
We'll switch.
Now we'll switch. Excuse us for just a few minutes.
March 19 meeting notes are also on the screen for everybody else.
guys have comments?
I do not.
I have comments on both of them. On the March 19th minutes, under certified local government grant project ideas, on the fourth line, last word, it says a decision was made to peruse the rehabilitation grant option. That should be pursue.
Yeah.
And then on the minutes from May 21st, on the second page, report from staff, it says Ms. Arnold informed the HRB that West Lynn was awarded the CLG grant from SHPO to offer to 5 pass-through grants to property owners within the historic district or landmark structures outside of the district to do small rehab projects at their homes. Okay, I get what the up to 5 means. Okay, I was trying to 5 pass, but 5 pass, that it's 5 pass-through. So I think maybe that should be, to make it clear, if we could hyphenate pass-through. Okay, any comments or a motion to approve with or without those comments? If you,
I move to approve as amended.
I will second.
All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Okay. Passed as amended. Okay, so we will move on to the Class 2 Historic Design Review application to remodel and add an addition to the rear of the existing home at 1847 6th Avenue and to construct a one-car garage with access from the rear alley. This is case file DR-19-01. The applicant is Nicolette Hides. And I assume we're using the same script, even though this is a continuance. I see new members in the audience, so we will go through the script. Ladies and gentlemen, tonight we are holding a public hearing regarding application DR-19-01 for Class 2 Historic Design Review, as I had just described. This is a quasi-judicial decision. Unlike in legislative hearings where personal opinion may come into play, quasi-judicial rulings must be grounded in the relevant code, and if the application meets the code, the board must approve it. The hearing tonight will proceed as follows. After preliminary legal matters, staff will make a presentation followed by the applicant. Then members of the audience will have an opportunity to comment. Finally, there will be time for rebuttal by the applicant. If you would like to speak regarding an agenda item, please complete a sign-in testimony form located on the table right over here and submit it to staff now. You must fill out a separate form for each agenda item. When you are called to testify, you will have up to 3 minutes to speak. The applicant will have 20 minutes initially, plus 10 minutes for rebuttal. The board members may ask questions of the applicant, staff, or anyone else who testifies. I now call to order the public hearing. I will now ask the city attorney to cover the preliminary legal matters.
Thank you, Chair. Applicable standards and appeal rights are as follows. The applicant has the burden of proving that the application is consistent with the City of West Lynn's Community Development Code, Comprehensive Plan, and any applicable municipal code provision. The criteria that must be addressed in this hearing are Community Development Code, Chapter 13, R5 Zoning, Community Development Code, Chapter 25, Historic Resources, and Community Development Code, Chapter 99, Quasi-Judicial Decision Making. Any testimony, argument, or evidence that speakers give us must be directed at these criteria or at some other criteria in the code or comprehensive plan which you believe should apply to this decision. So next we'll deal with conflicts of interest. We did this at the last meeting. Do any members of the Historic Review Board wish to declare a potential or actual conflict of interest?
I'll maintain the same one. I live across the street.
Sure. And that's on the record?
And also I will declare that I live about 150 feet away from it. See it out my front door. Great. See the house.
Thank you. And at the last meeting, people declared site visits. If anyone made a specific effort to go take a look at this property, to make a site visit since the last meeting, and if so, could you identify anything that you saw or any conversation you had with anyone at the site that gives you information that's different from what you've seen in the packet materials that occurred at the last year? So you made a site visit and...
Yeah, I've driven by multiple times. I wouldn't necessarily call it a site visit on foot. I've also done some Google Maps and research in different ways, and there's nothing that is in conflict.
Great. And board member Milwaukee, you were not present at the last meeting.
That's correct.
I checked with the staff, and I was advised that you've been provided with both the staff report as well as a copy of the minutes, the draft minutes of the last meeting. Have you had a chance to review those in full?
Yes, sir.
So you feel prepared to participate in this hearing?
Yes.
Thank you. Any additional conversation or comments?
I did a site visit this afternoon, including walking up and down the aisles or the alleys, within the Willamette Historic District that the applicant had cited various sizes and heights of garages. So I looked at those. I also looked at the site under consideration tonight. Other than noting what I saw about some of those other garages, I didn't talk to anybody or see anything in particular from that site visit. I do want to say that a couple days after the last hearing, I ran into the applicant, Nicolette Hides, at a neighbor's house, another neighbor who has just built a new house, and we were both over just happened upon it at the same time to go through it and look at it. We did not talk about her application other than my saying, you know, don't get disheartened. We tried to give you some direction and just follow it through, and we'll see you at the next meeting. But nothing substantive was discussed.
Thank you. So with that, the audience has an opportunity to challenge the impartiality of any member of the Planning Commission, so I'll ask the question. Does any member of the audience wish to challenge the ability of any member of the board to participate in the decision? Great. Seeing none, I think we've covered it all. I'll turn it back to you, Joe.
Okay. Well, I will turn it to Jennifer Arnold for the staff report, kind of the update since our prior hearing.
So I'm just going to go through the PowerPoint that I gave the last time, just as a refresher, and then I added a couple of slides at the end, which were some of the new images that were submitted with the new supplemental submittal by the applicant as a result of conversation from the previous hearing. So you know that they're proposing to remove that back addition, put on a new addition, put a single car garage in the back. It is considered a one story, even though it's supposed to be 18 feet. They're also planning to remove the brick chimney, and the existing front porch needs some repairs, as well as some window and door replacement. And then they've got some general maintenance stuff that they were planning to do, like some siding as necessary, and some paint, as usual. And you've got three options before you tonight. The first one would be to approve, and you've got approve with conditions. Those can be the staff recommended conditions, or you can add more conditions, or remove conditions that were recommended and make your own. And then you also have the ability to deny the application. However, if you deny the application, you do have to give code criteria that did not, the application did not meet the specific code criteria. So the property properties inside both the local and national historic districts. House was built around 1900, and the lot is 5,000 square foot lot in an R5 zone, which is for 5,000 square foot lots. Single family home is now right for many use in the zone. Sent out notice in April, got a meeting in May, and now we're back in June. These are the existing conditions of the house as of the April application. Kind of hard to see with the glare on the screen, but I think on the screens in front of you and then in the packets, at least that aspect of the packet should have been different. You've got pictures of the chimney that they plan to remove and some of the porch details that need to be repaired, as well as that back addition that is in some dire need of fixing. These are the renderings showing the current condition and then the proposed front elevation. So you can see the roof line change, the removal of the chimney, and the addition of that little awning for doorway, and then some window changes as well. Same thing with the back. Instead of having a single story addition out the back, that will be removed to make way for a two story addition. And some new windows and different door. So there's your side elevations. This side was the one that had the most drastic change because we went from having a chimney to now having French doors and overhang. And then you can see the full gable there. And then this was the garage that was proposed at 18 feet. Historic Code Chapter 25 does give the board a little bit of flexibility as far as approving things outside of standard code. So I'd say Chapter 25 is our special code that talks about all the historic stuff. And historic stuff does not necessarily fit with the conventional codes that we have today, which is why we have a whole board designated to make decisions for these special projects. So you guys do have the ability to approve as presented without them having to go through a special process for the 18-foot tall accessory structure 3 feet off the property line. However, I did recommend a condition of approval that conforms it to the code criteria, so that's up to you. The site plan shows the new garage and the new addition, as well as the preserved tree in the front, and then the front part of the house meets all the setback requirements. So our code criteria is in Chapter 25, 030, 040, 060, and 070. And then my favorite image from the submittal was the catalog image that we talked about at the last hearing. Like I mentioned earlier, my recommendation is to approve it. However, I do have two conditions of approval in my recommendation. One is that if you do approve it, they bill what you approve. And the other one is that the accessory structure doesn't exceed 15 feet to conform with our Chapter 37 code. Like I said, you guys have that flexibility. So at the last public hearing, there were some concerns and questions about windows and roof heights for the addition and the code criteria that mentioned subordinate additions. That the way the code is written is open for interpretation, and the applicant has provided their version in the packet of information that was emailed to you, with the caveat of if you wanted a paper copy, I would get it to you. Nobody requested it, so I didn't make one. We do have it printed over there. So in the packet that they submitted, they did provide a number of images, so I did take some of the best ones and put them in the slides so that we can have some conversation piece about some of that new information. This one talks about roof heights and then the front door, because that was a topic of conversation for a good 15 minutes or so. You can kind of see it on my slide. You can see it better. I guess you can see it on my computer really well. You can probably see it on your computer pretty well, but everybody else is looking at some blurred dark vision images. So, front doors images are in the lower left, and then up at the top we have some examples from styles of architecture similar to this home, as well as some other examples in West Lynn where we've got additions or sections of the roof that are taller than the main section of the front face. And then we also have the glass, open glass front door example in the lower right corner. So, got next slide, talk about windows and garages. As Chair Offer mentioned, he went around and looked at some of these garages. So these images were taken in the district, and then I pulled a couple of them that would fit on the slide. Topic of conversation at the last hearing was also the windows. What are they going to look like? How big are they going to be? How conforming to the neighborhood will they be? And what are they going to be made out of? So the applicant, I believe, is prepared to discuss those items, but they did provide some imagery to support their current application with double hung windows on the second floor, and then their taller garages in the district. Chapter 25 does allow for adjacent properties that have structures taller or closer to property lines for an in-between neighbor to kind of meet in the middle somewhere. So the applicant, by showing images of taller garages, could theoretically get an approval for their 18-foot garage based on meeting in the middle of some of these garages are two-stories, some of them have a false front to make them look way taller than they actually are, some of them are just really tall, so there's that caveat in there too. But that's all I've got for tonight. I was going to turn it over mostly to the applicant, since it was mostly a question and answer game at the last hearing with the applicant, and my stuff was done. So, unless you guys have any questions, I'll turn it over to
you.
You guys have questions?
So, just some clarification on Chapter 37, how is that described in Chapter? We don't have a copy of Chapter 37, so I don't know.
Chapter 37, Chapter 38, I think it's 37. It's our accessory structure chapter.
Okay. But you mentioned a 15-foot.
Yep. So, in order to meet that setback allowance for being 3 feet from that side property line and 3 feet from the rear property line, the structure has to be less than 500 square feet and not taller than 15 feet. So, the applicant proposed an 18-foot from the ground to the peak, and the way that Chapter 37 is written says from the ground to the peak, can't exceed 15 feet. Building measures differently. If you're looking at building code heights for things, they're measuring an average between the peak and the wall height, so it leaves some room for wiggle room, I guess, when you're actually building something, in case you're a couple feet here or there, inches here or there. But in the historic district, we allow things to be right up against the property line, and in some cases, we want things right up against the property line. And if you're going to be accessing something from the alley, it doesn't make sense to have it meet the 20-foot setback, because at that point, it's now in line with the middle part of the house. So it makes sense with their proposal to have that 3-foot setback off the back property line. It just doesn't jive well with some of our other chapters. In order to get this past my boss, I needed to have it meet with the other chapters. So that's why that condition was added. However, we've had an entire house add an addition, and it's only 3 feet off the property line. And they didn't go through a special process, and we approved that twice. So, it's up to you.
So, if we would choose to approve a garage taller than 15 feet, what section of the code would we be addressing?
You wouldn't necessarily need to address anything. You can just approve as the applicant presented, minus the staff recommended condition of approval. You wouldn't need to address the code for that approval. If you were to deny it, you could say it's because of the section and whatnot that I can bring up for you.
And then will it then be stopped by the Planning Commission because it doesn't fit the regular code?
This decision is with you, so it doesn't go to the Planning Commission.
Okay.
So if you If you don't like aspects of this application, you can make conditions of approval to make it work so that you're not denying the entire application. If you like everything about the application except for that height number, that's why that condition of approval is there.
Anything else from the board?
These examples of detached garages, do we know how tall they are exactly?
I think the applicant is prepared to speak about some of the height changes. Most of these are way taller than the 15-foot requirement to be that close to a property line.
Thank you.
Okay, well, let's move on to the applicant's presentation. So, as I mentioned at the beginning of the meeting, if you wish to testify during this hearing, please complete a sign-in testimony form and submit it to staff. You will have up to 3 minutes to speak. If you have any written material or other evidence you would like the board to see, please hand it to staff. The staff will distribute it to the members of the board and the applicant, as well as place it in the record. With that, who would like to speak first for the applicant?
Good evening, board. My name is Dylan Heise. I am Nicolette's ex-husband. We're no longer married, and I don't have any ownership in the property, but she's asked me to come speak on her behalf tonight as she's on a plane to not be here. I've been asked to address two concerns that I understand the board faced last time. One was with respect to windows. She wanted me to let the board know that they've gone in and selected fiberglass clad wooden windows. Those are going to be manufactured by Integrity, so there will be no vinyl windows on the property. She selected 6-over-1 windows. If that's a concern for the board, she's flexible and happy to change that if need be. The second issue is with respect to the roofline, which you've already discussed briefly. The plan requires that the addition be subordinate to the primary home, and we submit that's exactly what we have here. It is located in the back of the house, significantly less square footage than the original home. There's been some talk of whether or not if it's 3 feet higher, if it can be considered subordinate. I would submit that it certainly can, based on the photographs on pages 3 and 4 of the presentation that I think has been emailed to you. You'll see several examples of Queen Anne homes, the very common design feature of some of the portion of the roof being higher than the front gable. And also on pages 5, 6, and 7 on that presentation, you see that it's a common feature in our neighborhood as well. You know, I wanted to discuss the human side of this as well. Nikki would have discussed this last time, but I know she gets a little emotional talking about this stuff, which is that we divorced 6 months ago, and this was kind of the perfect plan for us. Three kids go to London Primary. We live 5 houses apart right now, and she has a lot of connections in the construction world, and when you have to go from 1 house to 2 houses, that can be tight. And so this was our plan to make it work, and we thought it was a perfect solution, and as things sometimes happen, it's been far from perfect. There really isn't a portion of the house that can be salvaged. And for those of you who know our family, we're committed to this community. We serve on boards as well as you guys. We coach, we do Girl Scouts, we volunteer in our schools, and we just want to build a good home that's going to fit for our family and it's going to fit for the neighborhood. And we're committed to doing that and working with you guys however we can to make it happen. So thank you for your consideration.
Thank you. Any questions from the board? Okay. Would someone else care to speak?
I'm Todd Eisen, I'm the Vice Architects. Eric Peterson is also here from our company. We did the design work and we're here to answer any questions, but one thing that wasn't in the presentation that was made was the revisions that were made to the drawings. I'm assuming you guys have all seen those revisions. We did change the front windows to narrow them, get the proportions more correct. We do feel that the roof line as designed, we haven't proposed any changing or massing. main house completely. That is a very Queen Anne style roof line modulation. We're not doing anything on the front elevation really to alter that or the historic presence of that from the street. Raising that hip up on the back and also to get the headroom needed for the bedrooms at this time. We did also make some changes to the garage that we'll propose. We're still proposing keeping it at 18 feet, and that's in order to match the pitch of the roof. There's a little bit of storage area up there. It's not going to be an ADU or anything that's habitable, really. It's a very small area. But we want to keep the pitch of the roof matching the pitch of the house. It's a very narrow one-car garage. Some of the other garages we have photos of are much taller. Eric can speak to the height of those. Most of those are two-car garages or lighter. All of those are only just a block or two away. So, do you have any other questions?
What changes were made to the garage from the last one?
The dormers were changed from gable dormers to shed dormers.
And we moved it to the other side.
Correct, yes. We did move it to the other side of the property where there is another garage over there. It creates more of a courtyard area for that little living area, that off the living room.
You go to the garage just so we can see that.
That is the correct one. We were to lower down to 15 feet, you know, we're either changing the roof pitch or we're dropping the walls down. Dropping the walls down just creates a lot more complications with the frame.
And the logic for moving it from one side of the property to the other?
That was primarily driven by water, was it not? The moving of the garage from one side to the other.
Was the owner's request?
Yes.
Personal preference of the owner?
I don't really think it matters. It does actually form a little courtyard area for her outdoor living area. That was the position we had recommended initially.
Are you proposing windows on both sides of the garage dormers?
Yes, sir. Okay.
So you're calling that storage?
It is just going to be storage.
It's a lot of storage, isn't it?
Well, this is a very narrow garage. It's, by the time you get to a 5 foot wall height, you're only 7 feet wide, I think. That's why the dormers were added to get the headroom for the stair.
There's a stairway up to the storage area.
Correct.
Any other questions?
Is this considered a two-story structure because of that, or is it a one-story structure?
It's a one-story structure.
It's one-story? The ADU is?
With the building official for the last hearing, 18 feet still keeps it under a one-story structure. And so they wouldn't be able to take that upstairs and make it an ADU without making other changes to the structure.
I will say I did try and work through the code definitions on stories, and this is more or less a 1.5 story garage, which is mentioned in some sections of the code but is not dealt with well in the definitions. And so
believe it or not, those were recently addressed, huh? They're better now than they were before.
I'm sure.
Well, knowing this code. Accessory building in the district, as Jennifer mentioned, and that's why we're asking for the exceptions tonight. We're not pursuing it with a variance. We're hoping to get the blessing from the board to do that, because under chapter 25, you have the purview to do that.
Okay. Any other questions? Okay. Thanks. Any other commenters? Okay. I will now close the public hearing, and we'll move on to deliberations. We have no need for rebuttals. Unless I skipped the if we have questions for staff. Does anyone have questions for staff before I would reopen the hearing if you do?
No, I think I have.
Yeah, I think I'm good.
Okay. You're closed, and we'll. Would any of you like to make comments, make a motion? What's your pleasure with this application?
My still concerned that we still have that 25.060 section 8 building height has to be. I'll read exactly. Building height and roof pitch of the existing or historic building height and roof pitch shall be maintained. I just don't know how we can interpret that any differently. It's pretty straightforward. And if we're changing the height of the new addition to be above the existing house, it seems as though we're breaking that fairly clear building height and roof pitch to be maintained.
I personally have got some mixed feelings on it, because it's the examples they've given are the existing structure, with the photographs of examples, not additions. So yes, there is higher ridges, hips beyond the front facade, but what you're talking about is an addition. What we're talking about is an addition. So I hear what you're saying. I think it carries a similar look to some of the examples they gave, yeah. But the letter of the law is, we're talking about an addition, is what you're saying.
Yeah.
Is that area one of the elements that are under our discretion to waive if it's consistent with the neighborhood field and images? Or is that an area that's black and white to internal code?
No, I think it's for us to determine.
It is.
That's what does it mean? I mean, that's...
It's the challenge is the next one that uses this as an example. That's what makes our job hard. Sometimes.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not pronounced. It's back. It's hipped. It's going away from the street. So, I mean, I respect that. It's a matter of... it is... I don't believe it follows the line of the code. So I'm going to hear.
Well, I think we need to determine what we think that means. I'm not sure I do. As I read the staff report and looked at the materials, I think that's the issue that I came up with. I like the design of the house. I think it would be a great improvement over what's there. I think it looks like it'd be a very livable house, very attractive house. I think it would fit in the neighborhood. I think even if the back portion is a little bit taller, I think it would be.
Sure.
It would fit in just fine. And as they've pointed out, that's not uncommon with other homes.
Absolutely.
In the district. So
absolutely.
I think that's where what it all comes down to.
So can you read that one more time, if you would?
Yeah, so it's 25060 section A number 8, building height and roof pitch. Period. Existing or historic building heights and roof pitch shall be maintained.
So I guess we need to determine whether we think that applies to the existing house.
Yeah, and this
existing house and addition.
Yeah, the letter A says standards for alterations and additions. This section applies to historic reviews of for alterations and additions to designated historic resources. That's the introduction.
Yeah, that section. Yeah. Yeah, I think the prior section, which we had talked about at the other hearing, as far being the additions being subordinate to the original building, smaller in scale and attached to the rear or setback along the side, I'm fine with everything with regard to that. Yeah. I think it does come down to number 8.
Well, also if it says previous or historic, if I heard you correctly, if it says or historic, and there's other examples that are historical of a similar height, and that might...
Well, it's saying building height and roof pitch, existing or historic building heights and roof pitch shall be maintained.
Right.
For the addition, so you have to maintain the historic or whatever is there.
Exactly.
I think the existing means if it wasn't historic, it was a later addition, I'm guessing.
Sure.
Because we're dealing with a wider section of the house, there is no way to maintain that roof form without it.
We're growing over the existing structure, is what you're saying.
Yeah.
Because the footprint's getting a little larger back, and it's not getting any wider.
It's fairly clear in the beginning of 2506, it says that, you know, development must comply with the applicable standards. It's not a can, it's a must. Right? Doesn't seem like there's a lot of discretion in there. The following design standards apply to all changes, including operations, additions, and new construction proposed by the designated historic resource. These standards are intended to preserve the features that make the resources eligible for historic designation. Development must comply with all applicable standards. And that's when it goes on to list all the standards. Will be approved for the multi-year process.
Which we don't have 080 in the staff report.
No.
Find it in the code.
Yeah, this section provides the deviation from site development standards for this chapter to enable flexibility and innovation consistent with the purposes of this chapter while ensuring that the features. Good. Features that historic designations are intended to preserve or maintain applicability. Provisions of Chapter 75 CDC variants shall not apply to the standards of this chapter. Assessment of modifications. When an applicant proposes an alternative to the standards of this chapter, the approval authority shall grant a modification when historical records, the applicant demonstrates by review of historical records photographs that the proposed alternative is consistent with and appropriate to the architecture in the historic district or is appropriate to the applicable style of architecture. Consistency, the resulting development of the proposal would be consistent with the intent of the standards for which the modification is requested or determined by the approval authority. Negative impact to adjacent homes or historic district will be minimized. These include but are not limited to mass loss of solar access, light, or air to adjacent structures in the scale or mass that visualize overwhelming or not defined. Difference between adjacent landmark or complete structure and don't think number four applies, but.
Well, what do you guys think about granting a modification? Do you think it meets those criteria? The applicant has provided, applicant or staff, I don't know who provided the photos, but provided photos and drawings that show that having increased height is consistent with other homes in the area, so would be appropriate to the architecture of the historic district. So I think that would, could make a positive finding to criterion A.
I think part of the challenge with this house is the fact that it has a sister house right next door, which doesn't have this.
That's true.
And it'll throw off these two sister homes, which have been written up in walking tours as sister homes, and, you know.
Well, maybe the walking tour needs to change.
Maybe we need to change walking tour. Actually, it probably does need to change. But.
No, we just did that. Well, okay, that's something we'll, you know, we can look at that. The second is consistency. The resulting development of the proposal would be consistent with the intent of the standards for which the modification is requested. Well, what do we think? That's up to us.
Sure. Yeah.
And negative impacts. I don't think any of the negative impacts that are discussed here would apply. However, I guess what Danny raised with it then being inconsistent with a sister house.
That's a tough one. I mean, it's people are going to change their houses. And they have the right to do that to some level. So keeping them inside the lines is our, part and parcel of our job. My concern, I'm rolling in favor, but my concern is if we allow something, then the next meeting is going to use that as the example. We've got a lot of garages that are bad examples of not to code, and if we continue to allow, but that would be my only concern on the direction that this is going. But I mean, it is getting larger. It's facing away. But I don't think that we can ask them not to make do an addition, a significant addition on their house to match what's going next door. I don't know how we can do that. I mean, I suppose we can, but I'm not sure that I would completely agree with not allowing it to change from its sister next door.
Is there no way to maintain the roofline on the new addition?
There very well could be.
Yeah.
I just meant the mass of the addition is pretty significant in relationship to the neighbor, whether the ridge stays the same or not.
Yeah.
So I think the facades, the front facades are going to, they've made a significant attempt to not change the front facade, which, at least from the front street, which isn't all of our job, but the front is hopefully maintaining.
The sister house to the west has been modified and has the, it has French doors. So they're actually changing this house kind of in some ways to be consistent with that sister house in some ways, but not in the roof line.
Yeah, I would agree with your opinion. If we add 3 feet on this one, the next one asks for 6 feet, and then the next one asks for...
We've been here long enough to see that does happen.
Yeah. And that's how some of these have gotten through. These examples.
Yeah. As I went through the alleys looking at the garages, I said, oh yeah, that was the one that led to these code revisions because people didn't like it, so some of the things that are used as examples are bad examples.
And for the garage, we would just have to make a variance. So we're asking for two variances then, both on height.
Right. Let's be clear, they're modifications, not variances. Well, different approval criteria. Okay. This is a much lesser standard of proof than a variance.
Okay. The garage would be overriding city code.
Yeah.
Last meeting we didn't contest the garage, as I recall. The garage has taken a different shape. I mean, I think if we had comment on that I mean, that's probably what I meant. Because as I recall in the last meeting, we didn't tell them to make their garage smaller.
Yep. I'm fine with the garage.
Yep.
I'll say that I actually like the look of the prior garage, the dormers on that, better. But ultimately, I don't really care, and I don't think that there's enough information or enough standard as to what is a proper garage for that era home. So I think I'd be willing to approve either garage. Mm-hmm. I think the relocation of the garage is a benefit.
Smart.
I mean, it gives you two usable yard areas, and centered garages, I think, end up collecting stuff on either side.
Sure.
This makes a lot of sense.
Okay.
So I think we're down to the roof line. Well, does anybody have any other issues? Yeah, you had concerns with the windows last time.
Yeah, I think those were answered in the evidence. And it sounds like she has some decisions on what they're going to be. So
yeah.
I'm not familiar with the fiberglass clad window. I'm not familiar with those, but do they fit within our requirements?
They do. My house has them on the basement. We have metal clad up above. And, you know, looking at them, I couldn't tell the difference. I'd have to knock on them to tell the difference, but I think we need to look that closely.
It doesn't. We just say it has to be wood-like.
Yeah. Now, those are good windows, and I think they'll be fine.
I think you're satisfied with them.
One thing that's on my mind, I mean, I think this is a good plan. I think the design is good. I understand the logic and the storage capacity and just different decisions that we made about facility there. But one thing that is in the back of my mind is, if we approve, just the marginal shift like that, what approval, range will we give in the future of not, going the same ridge line? Like, what does this board feel is a variance, or what are the conditions of allowing that difference in height so that we can set a precedent and have a boundary around that precedent versus some of the concerns that were raised of things sliding out in terms of, one thing set, and expanding that way. So, is it a few feet or what, and then what is the criteria around that, certain architectural principles that validate that expansion or what have you. That those are my thoughts on this.
I think they're trying to maintain the roof pitch.
Right.
That's what they're doing here, and consequently, it's causing it to raise slightly. I don't think that we could sit here and say we're not going to allow anything over 2 more feet or something like that. It's basically a proposal to us to deny or modify. My concern is that the next project comes in and I don't know how many additions that we've allowed that are taller than the existing structure. I don't have any records of that or history in my own mind. So
when I did my addition,
is it a bigger concern? Is it a bigger concern or is it a smaller concern?
And when I did my addition, the board was very strict and said you cannot go above your height line, your roof line.
Your existing structure.
My existing structure. That was very, and they also said it cannot be seen from the street, your roof line, even though we have a 30, whatever, 27 foot, you know, roof.
Yeah.
They wouldn't let it go.
Now, I'm not aware of any in the time that I've been on the board.
Okay.
So the past 4 years.
And that was 10 years ago for mine, so.
What was it, a potential approval with a consideration or a
modification?
I mean, is that, if they can, I don't know, I'm not sure what the right direction is.
But, yeah, would you be comfortable modifying with that, you know, with a condition that says can't be taller than that? Well, then we know the roof pitch is, either the roof pitch is going to change or it's going to be squeezed in or something that says it's going to be substantially different.
That's more than just a red line. And yeah, you're right.
I don't want to deny, but I also don't want to
make a mistake.
Yeah. Would you think we could reopen the hearing to discuss things with the architects?
I think so. I think Chair Upper, it sounds like you might be making some findings on how 25080 modifications to design standards would be met. You might need some commitment from the applicant, if the applicant's willing to make some minor adjustments, or maybe they're going to be able to give you some language that you can use in your findings about consistency and the lack of negative impacts. So to get that information, you might want to reopen the hearing. And obviously, if you're going to create some conditions of approval that haven't been discussed during the hearing, you'd need to give the applicant an opportunity to speak to those conditions.
Yeah, I think we'd like to talk to staff as well. So, with that, let's reopen the hearing. And Todd Eisland, could you come on up and discuss this? I think the main thing is the roof. Got any ideas on that?
Well, we have looked at many different options, and this, we feel, really is the best option because it does maintain the pitch of the roof. It's consistent with the historic style. It's set back far enough that it's not going to impact the front facade. I think we meet all those modification requirements. We're not creating any negative impacts. We're consistent with other things in the area. I think when you make a determination, you're making a one-time determination utilizing these modifications that are allowed in the ordinance. I think that if we change the roof pitch, it's really going to be unattractive. We looked at dropping the walls down, but they're narrowing it up. None of those really make any sense. We could push the house out farther in the back. Again, it's not very livable space if we do that. I guess I would ask you to make or give more consideration to the modifications to the design standard. And you're doing it on a one-time thing. We're not asking you to set a precedent. We're not trying to encourage others to do this. We're encouraging other people to look at modifications when they're appropriate. And we think this is appropriate in this case.
Unfortunately, it's not a one-time deal. Not that's why we're here.
Well, that's why you're here, exactly.
So that's what, obviously, I think that you can tell that everyone would like to approve it.
Well, I served on this board 15, 20 years ago.
Sure.
I know there were some bad precedents that were set inadvertently. I think this is very stylistic and appropriate to this home.
And I don't think that anyone disagrees with that.
Yeah, and I don't think by utilizing your ability to utilize these modifications, you're setting a bad precedent. I think if we did something to make this roof work and work down, I think you'd be more unhappy with that. And the code does say, you know, maintaining the roof pitches is one of the goals.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I think that's more important in this case.
So I'm not an architect, but it looks as though in your plans, you are basically completely changing the layout of the upstairs to put in a master suite in the front, which is a great addition. But that's going to have the same roof height as the existing house right now. So what keeps you from having the same existing height as the master suite in the front with the two additional bedrooms in the back? Can't you maintain that same roof line, the same ceiling level all the way through?
It widens out.
Yeah, well, those actually have the meatballs on the front room there are only 30 inches high.
But that's shorter than that. That would be shorter than back here, right?
It would mean our walls at the back would be 30 inches high to make that work.
Compared to the ones in the front?
The ones in the front are 30 inches high.
So what you see is just the house gets wider. So it goes from here to there. So you go like this. And it would take you all the way up over there. So that's they're taking it to the width of the house where the front is.
Yeah. Okay, I understand.
Maybe we could do that. We'd be adding some big leather dormers that would be less appropriate for the style of the home. If it were a craftsman style home or something, yeah, maybe we'll do the dormers instead. But this Queen Anne style, you really want to stick with that roof edge.
Danny, you look at the front of the house. I look at the back.
Yeah, so you're looking back. So. So. Well, there is already a dormer on the house, though, on the side. I guess it's not really a dormer. Is it a dormer?
What do you
think? On the side, it's facing the stairs. Yeah. That's a new one. That's the existing house has a dormer on it, too. Wait, is that, that's considered a dormer, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And what is that, about 3 feet, 3 or 4 feet higher than the front, the peak in the front?
We're about the same dimensions.
I think it's 3. It's just 24, 6, 20, 27. 27, 6. 27,
though.
I can't tell. I don't know where 6. Can you tell?
Yeah,
27. Okay. So it's only 2.5.
House as it is a 1.5-story house.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, I know you're starting here, trying to work with this upstairs.
Right, and getting a little stairway up there. Right now, the stairway is automobile, needs to be less.
Yeah.
Yes. We're trying to correct a lot of problems and bring things into the 21st century with this one.
It's always the challenge.
It is.
I guess I am just noticing that there are 6 windows on either side of the back door wrapping around. That's a lot of light coming into that. That's going to be pretty cool.
If we get it built.
Yeah. It's also going to be a lot of money, I know, with integrity windows. Jennifer, do we have a street view photo?
Mm-hmm.
And I see on sheet A1 there is a small photo too. So there's that, the big monstrous maple tree in front between this and the sister house.
So they submitted new photos to Jennifer of the front of the house in the revise. It's the last. It was page like 58 or 59 or 57.
Despite us missing the minutes, we actually do read to the end of the staff report. Find out these photos. Yeah, they're right at the tail end.
Chair, can I speak to what we're
sure.
talking about? About the modifications of the design standards, I hear the slippery slope arguments being made and the precedence for it, but what I would respectfully suggest is that the modification of the design standards exists for this very reason, which is that this body isn't locked into really strict rules in every house, because that's kind of what's cool about this neighborhood is that the houses are so different, and that you're not going to create a precedent because every house is unique to itself. And what we have here in the architects, we put considerable time into what is the best strategy for this house, what makes the most sense for the neighborhood, and as they've explained, this is it. And so if the 36-inch bump up in the back is forced upon this house, down 36 inches, what you're going to end up with is a considerably more expensive house to build, and one that's going to be much less attractive to the neighborhood. For a 36-inch bump that isn't going to be viewable from the street and isn't going to be seen on the walking tours, but you're going to see an ugly roof line from the back. And so I would respectfully ask that you really consider the modification of design standards. I think they exist for situations exactly like this, because we can create a better looking, more functional, more cost-effective home with something like this.
Okay, thanks.
I think it just comes down to that decision.
I mean, I think it is in terms of which criteria do we want to hold to a higher level, because you know, you've got the height requirement, you've got the pitch requirement, you've got the aesthetics of the period of Queen Anne home. If we're looking for, you know, charisma of the neighborhood and design, you know, creativity and personality, and then, you know, flexibility and the height might be a better path to take. Like, it just depends on which criteria we're going to hold to a higher level, because I am hearing that there is a conflict with those things, but if the board has the flexibility, then, you know, you might want to consider those facts.
Everything that happens here is a precedent. It is. It just, I've been here for 2 years, and I think every submittal has used, that wants to go outside the box has used examples. You guys have with your garages as an example. So everything is. So that's where we're wrestling. The nice part is we're not questioning or going after anything other than, are we willing as a board to do something that we typically don't do? That's I think that's what we're wrestling with. I'm just speaking.
Keep in mind, here is still open when you reopen it.
Yeah.
You want to ask any more questions?
Any more questions or questions of staff? Either Jennifer or Phil.
I don't.
Okay. Thanks. We'll close it again. Where are we?
Well, I appreciate the design and the architecture of it, and the beauty of how it's going to look, but I think the purpose of this board is not to encourage creativity necessarily, but to stick with historic standard, which is why we have, well, somewhat strict, but some flexibility in our design. But I'm still concerned about the precedents that will come back to bite us.
Well, I think we We try to be strict, but we also need to encourage livability.
Yeah.
And I don't know when this house was built, but it was in the 1800s or the 1900s, but it's been a big difference in the last 100 years.
What livability looks like, absolutely.
On the average height of a human being, too. You know, the average male is 5'3", previously, I think now 5'8", 5'9", something.
Those were the good old days. Make a motion and see if we can come to a decision or debate it further.
This is all one whole. We have to approve the whole thing with no modification. We can't.
I believe, is that correct, Jerry?
I believe so, yeah. I don't think we want to just build the garage without the house. Probably could approve the house without the garage, if that's if we had a problem with that. But, we can condition it. Designing by condition is not a good thing to do unless it's
not at this level. Not what we're talking about.
Unless it's a condition that everybody agrees.
Absolutely.
Works.
No additional ideas were brought to the table, so it's do you have anything in addition to that?
No, not really. I still kind of stand with that section 8.
I know. Yeah, it's hard. Well, then I say we make a motion. I move that we approve.
Second.
And
as proposed.
I think it's. I don't think that there are conditions. I don't think any conditions have been imposed that. The applicant has been willing to consider.
Okay, we do have the staff recommended conditions, so we do need to deal with those.
Conditions. I'm sorry, Jerry.
That's so, ruled as designated in the accessory height.
So,
approved with the conditions, staff recommended.
So the staff recommended 115 height on the garage. They're requesting 18.
What was your motion?
That's your motion, Don. What do you want to do on that?
Motion to approve is submitted.
Okay. So that would be striking the second staff condition of approval.
Of the requirement for the garage?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Second.
Everyone understand the motion?
Yeah.
Any further discussion on it?
I'm still concerned about the precedent we're going to set. I think it's going to come back to get us real soon.
Do you want to add anything to distinguish it?
I mean, I think based on the requirements of the roof pitch, I think the care of the Queen Anne style and the thought that's gone into this, the fact that it's shielded, you know, on the walking tour and it's not visible, the points that John made, I think it's very convincing. And I don't think it's outside of the realm of possibilities that it could be historically accurate and be, you know, 18 versus 15. I think that there are other customs that it follows too, and I understand the concern. Trust me, I mean, I raised it too about the precedent, but I think given the statements made, I think given the other criteria, I think it is fair to approve as the application states.
Keep in mind that Section 8 does say building height and roof pitch. It doesn't say or. It's not you to pick or choose which one you're going to maintain. It's a and.
Mm-hmm.
So we're basically saying that we prefer roof pitch over roof height by saying this because we want them to maintain the pitch.
Yeah, I think stylistically it does.
And it's still under the maximum height of the district.
Yeah.
Which
just barely, like 4 inches.
Yeah.
Okay. Anything else? Okay, well, we have a motion before us.
I have a question about the motion. Does that include the number one staff recommended condition or no staff recommended conditions?
Number one was the build as designated.
So, build as one.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay, are you ready to take a vote? Okay, should we take a roll?
Yeah. Member Nowacki?
Aye.
Vice Chair Schreiber?
I'm going to say no because of 25080. Section 8.
Member Walton?
Aye.
Chair Walker?
Aye.
Motion passes.
And can I ask, does the board consider the comments made by board member Milwaukee to be findings to support the decision? The comments about the Queen Anne style and his other comments recorded in the record?
Yeah, well, I would think so. What do you guys think?
Yes.
So you might want to just have a vote on that, accepting those, so that those become part of the decision to support this one compared to future applications.
Oh, that would help with the precedent.
Yeah, I think that's good. I'm glad you stated that, Rich.
Sure thing. Just trying to help.
You've earned your money. You've earned your candy for the night. So, Jennifer, do you have enough of that from...
Yeah.
You can listen to that or whatever. And this will... The findings need to clearly state that this is includes modifications.
Yes.
And so that if anyone is looking at things in the future, we can say, yeah, we did that in some cases with modifications, and there were some... special circumstances.
So I'll prepare a final decision and order. Worst case scenario, it will be to you next week.
Okay.
Otherwise, it will be by end of day Thursday since we don't work Friday.
I'll be around. Done traveling for a while. Okay. Well, thanks.
Thank you very much.
And as you all know, this is often painful. This was a painful one because it was one we all liked.
Yes,
yeah.
It's a good design, and it's
consideration. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
So, although everyone here was in support of the application, if anyone would like to appeal this decision to the City Council, they must file an application with the Community Development Department within 14 days of the signing of the decision.
Thank you. Okay, we'll move on to business from the Historic Review Board. Anyone got anything?
I don't.
So other than being incredibly busy, I don't have any other report from staff. I'm working on trying my hardest to find some time to get that the grant application packets ready to go posted and sent out to everybody to let them know that we've got this program going on. We've got some stuff in the works for some upcoming pre-apps and meetings for some historic stuff, so theoretically, going into late summer, early fall, we'll probably start seeing some more applications come through.
Is it posted then? Is it already?
It's not been posted yet. The whole packet that we got from Shiggle that says you were approved for this money, and then we get our packet of everyone's signature page, has been sitting on my bookshelf next to my office on top of the envelope it came from for the last week and a half as I'm trying to travel and get there.
So what is the time frame that Shippo allows for this? When do we need to?
We have until fall of 2020 to have this complete.
Okay.
So I'm trying to get it done and posted this month so that we have a 30-day window to post it. People can get their stuff in order, apply for it, and then we have a meeting to figure out who's going to get what and how much, and then they have enough time to actually do the work and a full summer to actually do the work. Even if we approve something in the winter, they could theoretically be like getting the contractors lined up and all that stuff for when it's a little drier, if they're doing something outside. So otherwise, I have nothing else to report.
I'm glad that we have that much time to deal with it. So no other applications right now, huh?
Any applications. I do have a couple of pre-apps coming up and some meetings about the old city hall and some stuff moving forward with that, but we'll get that in some time.
Okay. Anything happening with code amendments that we should be aware of?
Not yet, but there's interim staff communication about that. Trying to advocate to at least get it to a work session with council so that they can maybe consider a priority of that item for 58. We've had a number of hearings about Chapter 25, and you guys have pointed out some issues with 25, but I don't know if you're still in that. I don't want to address issues with Chapter 25 and just do code amendments for 58, because it theoretically could all get done in one historic review amendment to those two chapters, but if there's not a whole lot of stuff you want to change in 25, then we can just go ahead with that 58.
It'd be nice if we change stuff in 25.
Yeah, they're both critical.
Yeah.
So we can have a work session instead of a board meeting in this setting where we can go through Chapter 25 and start making some changes if that's something you guys are interested in doing.
Yeah, we should do something in July or August, and we have so many new board members. We got to get to know each other too.
Absolutely.
We can do trust balls. You guys want?
Of course. So we should do something, and if it doesn't look like there's going to be any hearing items, maybe a work session would be good to talk about what we need to do with the code, and that would be a way for the new members to become more familiar with the code and some of the issues that we've had in the past.
We can also go over those recommended changes from 58 too, and kind of get everything finalized so that I've got a bigger package to present if that's something you guys want to do. I think that would be a great next month meeting if you guys are still wanting to meet in July.
Yeah.
I think you will have an application by your August meeting.
Okay.
So I'll put that together for you guys in the fall.
So I would like to raise for everyone here, I've raised it, I guess, in the March meeting. I think we need to consider whether we think we should be reviewing public improvements in both the historic residential district and the commercial district, as those haven't typically been reviewed in the past. I think that there's some language in chapter 25 that says at least some public improvements
yeah.
should be reviewed, including sidewalks and curbs, and they haven't been in the past.
Yeah.
And lights fall in that too category, I remember.
Yeah. Lights are pretty cool, and being British, you know, they have a lot of decorative historical lights, for sure.
But I also find, this has got to be, this is saying a lot to say, that's about the most confusing section of the code, is just that one thing about what is exempt and what isn't.
Yeah.
But we, with Lance Calver talking to us about potential street improvement projects in both the commercial and the residential district, I think we want to have input.
Well, there's no historical concern about what they're proposing.
Yeah, not even consideration.
That's what I meant.
And it may be different between, we may come down differently between the residential district, which is an actual historic district, it is a national register district, and the commercial district, which is a
kind of
historic design district, compatible with historic district.
Well, they
but and then there's the other sites around the area that we should be concerned about how they might be impacted. There are some historic sites that are on Highway 43, and we've got Highway 43 projects coming up too.
Okay.
So that's a big item for me, and it's a big item for a lot of my neighbors.
I agree. I think it plays a big factor. I mean, the fact that people are walking down the streets instead of the sidewalks is how we get around in that neighborhood, and that's just how it is. But it needs to be thought through. There's way too many things that are off property lines and on property lines that need to stay. So I agree.
I just wanted to say hi.
Hi.
I'm Jules Walters from the council, so I'm the liaison. I apologize that this is my first meeting I've been to this year. We've had council meetings scheduled that conflict, and then in May I was at my daughter's graduation back east. So I was really grateful to be here today. I can see it's tough work, so I really appreciate all that you're doing.
Well, welcome.
Yeah.
Thanks for being our liaison.
Sure. And please feel free to come to me with any questions, if there's anything I can do to help.
Absolutely.
I'm available. Then I will be here at the July meeting. So Friday,
I have
a schedule of a conflicting meeting, so hopefully I will be here. August council is in recess, but if you want me here, I am in town that week, so I can come.
Great, thanks.
Thank you.
This was, even though there was no opposition, no supporters or opposition. This was a tough item to deal with.
I didn't like it.
Yeah.
We shouldn't be talking about that. Are we done?
Okay, we're adjourned. But I think we can talk about this a little bit. It was just tough.
Yeah, it was. Yeah.